And welcome back to the Tuned In Podcast. Let's go, baby.
We're here, baby. Let's
go. It's a good time to be a Jazz fan. We finally got the NBA draft in what, like five or six days?
That's right. Best two words in sports, game seven. That's where we're at.
Oh, yeah. Dude,
let's go.
We're spoiled. I don't think we haven't had a game seven since LeBron did his thing in the 3-1 comeback.
Oh, man. And, you know, we'll talk about the finals later, but if you're not loving this, then you must not actually be a basketball fan because these playoffs have just been incredible. So,
dude, we got an action-packed episode today. It's been a couple weeks since we last talked, so we've got to go over some NBA trades and a potential trade, maybe involving the Utah Jazz. We'll also talk about some of the pre-draft workouts and prospects the Jazz are looking at. And then the main part of this episode, our official Tuned In mock draft, where we'll select every pick up until the 21st pick, the Jazz.
Ooh, let's go.
And then we'll also give our reaction to the NBA Finals, how exciting it's been, and also talk a little bit BYU basketball.
Don't forget to check us out, Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. Like we always say, you can find us there. Make sure to give us a follow, leave us a 5-star review. We really appreciate your support. And this is episode 75 of Tuned In Jazz. Ooh, okay. Well, the rumor mill, it seems like it's a summer, every summer event now that KD is in trade rumors.
I mean, how many teams has he been on now?
Yeah.
Thunder, Warriors, Nets, Suns.
So yeah.
This will be his fifth team. That's crazy.
Yeah. And I kind of do feel bad for him because wherever he gets traded, the team has to trade away their entire team to get him.
Yeah.
And then he just doesn't have any help. But it's also a lot on him, but... according to Shams, his preferred destinations are the Spurs, Rockets, or Heat. I'm not sure any of those will happen. Maybe the Rockets. Where do you think KD would be best fit at this point?
I've heard those teams. I've also heard Shams say another team that's in the sweepstakes is the Timberwolves.
Yeah.
I actually would really like him on the Timberwolves. I know Edwards likes... Kevin Durant respects him.
Yeah.
So I think they could be a really good duo. He could be in what the Timberwolves need to go over the hump. And then maybe the Suns get either some package with Rudy or Randall or something like that. Sign and trade. So I feel like the Suns would feel like they're actually getting something back.
Yeah.
That's decent.
I could agree.
But then again, who knows? I also think the Miami Heat could be good because, like, if you're Kevin Durant and you're trying to win, you got to get out of the West.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I think you could do that on the Heat. They already have a pretty good team.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. I think Timberwolves would be a really good fit too. I think you'd have to unload the Rudy contract or to make it work. Also, kind of seems like that thing's run its course with Rudy over there. Maybe not, but...
Well, and I know they like extended Rudy because he was going to get paid like 40 plus mil in his last year.
Yeah.
But they like spread it out across 3 years. So it's not as bad.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And I think if the Suns get Rudy, that's still going to help their floor a lot.
Yeah.
Like they'll be a really good defensive team with him
Absolutely.
And Booker, and they could still be decent.
And I think if you're Minnesota and you could get Kevin Durant without giving up like Jaden McDaniels and Nikhil Alexander-Walker and like some of those guys, like that would be your best bet because I think Anthony Edwards and Kevin Durant would be really, they'd like play really well together. We saw that in the Olympics. But just them two is not really going to get you anywhere.
Yeah.
It's just going to be another Devin Booker.
I think some of those guys are free agents. Like I know Alexander-Walker might be a free agent this offseason. So
that's right. I forgot about that.
It'll be interesting to see. They got some guys that they might lose. Yeah.
Yeah.
They got to keep Joe Ingles, of course.
Yeah.
Like he's the missing piece for real.
Yeah. Mike Conley, Mountain Man Mike.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting. Who knows? At this point, it's like the thing I hate about KD rumors is that they just go on forever. It's like,
sure.
And the Suns kind of traded away everything, so I'm sure they're looking for a haul back, and it's like, it's just going to take a while, probably.
Yeah, I heard them say on ESPN that they'll want to try and get this done before the draft so that teams can kind of know what they're doing.
Interesting.
So look out on your phone for the Shams notification before the draft. But
yeah,
I mean, if it's taken this long, I wouldn't be surprised if they just kept putting it off.
But still, yeah.
But we did get a trade to go through.
We did.
Pretty big trade. If you're not a big NBA fan, you might not know Desmond Bane as well.
Yeah.
But he's a really good player. He's on my fantasy team last year.
Yeah.
He's
pretty good.
I mean, the Magic went to get him, but they gave up Caldwell Pope and...
Yeah, I got it right here. They gave up... The Grizzlies got back Cole Anthony, Caldwell Pope, 4 first-round picks, and a pick swap. And 1 pick swap.
Are any of those picks this year or all future?
The 16th pick this year, and then all of them are unprotected, 26, 28, and 30.
40, okay.
Yeah.
And a swap, right?
And then a swap in 29.
Interesting.
I don't know. I do feel like both teams got pretty good here, but I don't know if Desmond Bane is not worth 5 first-round picks. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would argue Mikal Bridges wasn't worth that either.
That's true.
But maybe if they weren't willing to give that up, another team had a better offer.
That's true.
Here's my thing. I think, yes, you overpaid. And
a little bit, there's
probably, it's hard to argue against that.
Yeah.
But I also think now's the time to be competitive in the East.
That's true.
Like, the East is like looking really bad. The Celtics don't even look like they're going to be a thing next year.
No.
The Pacers are probably going to be decent, but who knows if they'll be able to replicate it next year.
Exactly.
The Knicks are a big question mark with their head coach. Mm. Like, if I'm the Magic, I'm trying to win now, baby. Like,
yeah.
There's all these teams that are looking wishy-washy. Let's forget our first-round picks. Let's just try and win now. We can be bad later when there's more competitive East.
Yeah, that's true. I totally agree. I think, actually, watching that series against the Celtics this year, I thought Orlando looked really good. I know that they didn't really, like, if you just looked at the series, how it ended, you wouldn't think that they played good. But there were some close games in there, and I really like Franz Wagner and Paolo Banchero. Mm-hmm. I think they're a good duo. Jalen Suggs has kind of had a breakout year a little bit.
Yeah, he's been solid.
And so you add Desmond Bane into that, and you could even get another piece or two in free agency. I think that they could be putting themselves in position to make a little run next year.
Yeah, and honestly, Caldwell Pope wasn't that good for them last year.
No.
Cole Anthony was very pretty
okay.
Solid, but
yeah.
He wasn't like a big piece for their future, I wouldn't say.
Yeah, no.
So I'm all in with it. I think, yeah, you overpaid, but now's the time to overpay.
Absolutely.
And then also the Jazz have been in some trade rumors.
Yes, they have.
And
a big one, too.
A pretty big one. I'm not sure how I feel about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been Paul George, right?
Yeah, the rumor I heard was that it was Paul George in the 3rd pick for Lowry and the 5th pick, is what I heard.
Interesting.
Which I guess I didn't see Lowry as a better player than Paul George, but I guess if Philly does, I don't know.
I think Paul George is just the contract of Paul George
yeah.
is worse than Lowry because
yeah,
he's
that's
older.
True. But yeah, if that was the trade, I'm assuming there's probably more to it, the fact that we're still negotiating it if it's still happening. Would you be down for that trade, or what are you saying if you're Austin Ainge?
I'm not down for it. I've just seen Paul George get injured a lot, and
yeah.
Last year was not his best year. I don't doubt that he could bounce back and have like a pretty solid year this upcoming year, but
yeah.
I just don't want to be paying him $50 million in 3 years.
That's true.
So that's kind of my thing, but yeah. I don't know. What would you say?
I think it gets kind of complicated because, to be honest, I up until recently, I was really on Team Ace Bailey. I really like Ace Bailey, just as, like, his game. And even, like, VJ Edgecombe, guys like that who I don't think are going to make it to 5. And so, like, giving Paul George a better situation, I think Philly's just kind of a dysfunction. It's been a dysfunctional organization for quite a while.
Sure.
This whole process. And so maybe you get lucky and Paul George looks like Paul George again, and then if you could have him mentor an Ace Bailey or VJ Edgecombe, that would be like really awesome, because Paul mm-hmm. George is like he seems like the guy would be a good mentor. But now that I'm like, we're getting closer to draft, we're hearing some things about Ace Bailey, which we'll talk about in a second, and I don't think the gap between VJ Edgecombe and some of the guys we can draft is that huge. I don't know if it would be worth it.
Right.
I don't think I would do it. But it's tempting.
It's totally tempting. The kid in me thinks, oh, no way, Paul George on the Jazz? Like, yeah, that's crazy.
Exactly.
But it's not the same Paul George. And
no,
having Paul George on your team just makes the like cap room
yeah
completely disappear.
Yeah, it does.
So, but if you do think about it, we're going to get off the John Collins contract very soon.
I think so too, yeah.
So then we'll have, and if we do end up trading Laurie, he'll kind of take Laurie's spot in mm-hmm. money terms.
Yeah.
And then we'll probably have to pay Kessler, but a lot of our other guys are still on rookie contracts anyways. Yeah. So really, as long as you have enough money to pay Kessler
mm-hmm.
and a couple years out, pay the rookies, then I think you'll be yeah. all right.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, that'll be interesting to see. It was crazy how last summer we were talking about how Philly was going to, like, it seemed like, dang, that team's going to be really good. And then it just turned into a total crapshoot with Embiid's injuries and Paul George got injured early, and it just never seemed yeah. like it worked. So,
yeah, so I guess I would also kind of lean against it, but who knows?
Yeah.
The Jazz are trying to compete. I'll support them.
Yeah, exactly.
But also, you're talking about Ace Bailey. Let's do that real
quick. Yeah.
This guy has been declining every pre-draft workout, including mm-hmm. the 76ers, who probably were going to draft him.
Yeah.
Now we're not so sure. I don't know. Here's the rumors I've heard. I've heard, A, he's not thrilled to go to Utah. Like, I don't know where that rumor came from, but I've seen it all over ESPN that he's not excited about Utah.
Yeah.
And then I've also heard a rumor that he wants to, like, be the central piece of a team. Like, he wants the most shots. So yeah. maybe in the Sixers, he's not going to get that as much because he's got Maxey and Embiid there, which makes no sense to me.
No.
But, and then he also, I've heard, wants to be on the East Coast. But these are all, like, rumors. Like, let's yeah. talk to the guy and have right. him on the mic tell us everything. But it seems like his agent's probably just floating these things out so that he doesn't have to go to the Sixers.
Yeah.
Because maybe he wants more shots than that.
Yeah, well, I did hear that he did turn to, what we do know, he hasn't done a single NBA workout, pre-draft workout. I read that last night. He also, this is another rumor, turned down Philly's pre-draft workout invitation. I've also heard that his agent wants him to, like, he's asking for money to interview with teams, which is kind of,
I think that's more his agent just being a weird agent.
But either way, I mean, like, you don't want a star player who's got an agent who's, like, always asking for stuff and it's just being yeah. a diva. And so I don't know if Ace Bailey understands how the draft works, but the most likely place you're going to find a team where you can be the star is
like Utah
at the beginning
yeah.
of the and Utah. That's the thing. Is like we don't have a guy on offense that our whole offense runs through. He could be that guy if he's that good.
Totally, yeah.
But
you can't have your cake and eat it too, right?
No.
You gotta pick something like, I want to be the central guy or I'll go to this location, right? You can't have both all the time.
Yeah. So I still really like Ace Bailey's game, but I don't think it's as easy as a decision at 5 to pick him. I think it gets a little messier now that
I'm not so sure about it because I know a lot of the guys on the Jazz we draft because of their character and their yeah. willingness to play in Will Hardy's system.
Absolutely.
And so if Ace Bailey's not really willing to play in Will Hardy's system, I don't know how well it's going to work. Cause, I mean, look at the Jazz. They're probably one of the people they're committed to most is Will Hardy.
Absolutely.
10-year contract or whatever long it is, right?
Yeah.
So,
and you look at the history of guys that have been drafted in like Boston, the Angels, obviously, who we're looking at, just like high character guys. They don't take a lot of guys who are just like ego, you know, egomaniacs that are bad locker room guys. That they take the Jason Tatums and the Jaylen Browns who are good teammates, you know. So mm-hmm. right now we're not seeing that from Ace Bailey. So I think it'll be interesting to see how far he falls if he does.
Well, the Jazz have been working out a lot of lottery guys.
Yes, they have.
I would argue they've maybe worked out like 8 different guys that could go in the lottery.
Yeah.
And I think since last time we looked 2 weeks ago, they hadn't worked out any of these guys yet.
Mm-mm.
So I'll read them to you. So they worked out Trey Johnson. He's been the big name.
Yeah.
Kind of surfacing as probably the more likely. And then we got Jeremiah Fears worked out.
Yep.
Kaman Maluwak. Yegor Demin, of course. We expect that. Neek Clifford of Colorado State. Jace Richardson, Will Riley, Walter Clayton. And it goes on after that with a lot of later round guys.
Yeah.
Any of those names pop out to you that you're surprised or you're excited that they came?
I'm glad they brought in Neek Clifford. I think it's going to be a miracle if he drops to 21, but with 21, I would hope we could get I wouldn't even mind getting a guy like him who's older, who might be more NBA ready to play right now, even if he doesn't have like an uber high ceiling. I think he showed in the tournament that he's got a lot of skill, so I really like him.
Yeah, and I think he's one of the older players in the draft. He's a senior. But you mean you look at the last couple of years, Jaime Jaquez,
even Dalton Connect
Good this year. Yeah, has been all right. Just recently there's been like all these seniors that come in and just are decent contributors.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think he might be the guy this year.
Absolutely.
I'm excited that they worked out Trey Johnson just because he's been that big name, and so I'm glad that they've at least gotten to take a look at him, interview him.
And he was
him.
Willing, too. That's a good thing,
yeah,
too.
Of course. Not everybody's been willing, so we're happy with who we got.
Yeah.
And I'm also kind of excited for Jace Richardson and Walter Clayton because I think those are two guys I could totally see dropping to 21.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens in our mock draft, but those guys could be there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of exciting. So, I mean, I think Kaman Maluwak's kind of interesting, too. I'm not sure.
We weren't expecting a center to get drafted.
I don't know if that would be a great fit. Although, I don't know. We don't really have a solid backup for Walker Kessler right now on the roster.
Unless Filipowski slides down.
Yeah.
He's been a four a lot of the time.
That's true. So it's kind of an interesting one. But I'm glad the Jazz are doing their due diligence. I mean, if he's a good player, we want him. So,
definitely.
If he's better than Kessler, we'll take him. So it's like, I guess you'd want to leave every rock turned over, you know?
Yeah, I'm surprised that we got him to work out and not Knipple.
Yeah.
Because Knipple's been a guy that we've seen slated to us quite a bit.
Absolutely. Well, I think that takes us to our own mock draft.
Let's go. I think one thing I'll point out before we get into it, I still have not done my homework on all these guys, so I'll be completely honest. If there's like a guy I draft that's like, I don't really know if I've watched him that much, but I know a little bit. Mostly I know some of the main attributes of a lot of the guys and kind of their age and ceiling level, you know?
Yeah.
But I think feel pretty confident in knowing like the first 12 guys, kind of what they're all about, and then we'll see. Once we start getting closer to 21, we'll kind of we'll kind of start not knowing them as well, but definitely we'll be picking the guys that'll probably be off the board before 21.
Absolutely. Well, I think we can start. Well, I guess we'll just take it one by one, but I was gonna say the first two are pretty easy slam dunks. But...
Yeah, should we take Con Knipple number one?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe Hunter Dickinson. Just kidding. Wrong white guy. But the obvious number one pick, Cooper Flagg.
I think
we're in agreement on that one.
Do we even need to really talk about him?
As far as we can tell, I think he's the only team he's worked out with is Dallas, and he's like the only guy they worked out. So it's pretty
doesn't
easy.
Doesn't surprise me. I hear people saying he's generational. I agree with it, but I also think like. You gotta let him prove it first. Like, I don't know. I'm not as sold on him as that's generational fair. Until I start seeing him in the NBA.
But, that's fair.
But he's definitely number one guy.
I do think that that is such a good situation for him, even though I hate that it's the Mavericks and what they did this year. But I do think Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis are the type of guys that were like, you can mentor a guy like Cooper Flagg. I think that's such a good situation for him. So.
Oh, yeah.
Easy pick for them. Number two, I think Dylan Harper is pretty easy.
Yep, Dylan Harper. I'm honestly wondering, I haven't heard very much news about the Spurs trading down.
Yeah. So, they haven't worked him out as far as we can tell. But I think it's an easy pick. The only thing that I think is interesting with that one is just San Antonio's guard rotation is kind of odd now. Like, because you do have De'Aaron Fox now and Stephon Castle.
And Devin Vassell.
And Devin Vassell. So it's like, where does Dylan Harper fit? I mean, he's the number two pick, so obviously he's pretty good, but it gets kind of a little interesting there.
Yeah. We'll see. I feel like they're pinned where they can't really take another guy because he's just so talented. You know, absolutely. They can always trade him.
Absolutely.
All right. This is where the draft really starts.
Yes, it does.
We did our own mock kind of practice mock drafts before. I don't know who are you thinking at number three?
Well, okay. I think this one, I think it's going to be VJ Edgecombe.
That's what I'm thinking too. Okay.
I think Philly's kind of similar situation with their guard rotation. And I think VJ Edgecombe's big enough that he could play like a three next to Jared McCain, yep. Tyrese Maxey. So I think it'd be a good fit.
And he's been shown to be like a decent defender as well. And so that's the kind of piece that you want on a like contending team is somebody that's going to come in and just kind of fit.
Absolutely. Okay, number four. Who'd you take at number four?
This was hard for me because I'm thinking the Jazz are next, right?
It's tough.
I'm thinking Ace Bailey goes here at four.
Ooh, interesting.
I don't know what you had, but I just feel like the Hornets would be crazy to pass up on him. And the Hornets are in the East Coast, and I feel like Ace Bailey would be able to get up plenty of shots in Charlotte.
That's true.
And I know Charlotte's not been as sold on LaMelo. Like he's been in some trade talks.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I feel like they could get their guy.
I had Con Knipple.
I've seen that too.
I had Ace Bailey fallen quite a bit. I think the only thing reservation I have about Ace Bailey there is I've heard that Charlotte's only untouchable player is Brandon Miller, who's kind of, to me, almost has the same exact build as Ace Bailey.
Sure. I'd be willing to go Knipple.
Okay.
If you want.
Yeah, let's do
it. I think he would be a good fit there as well.
Okay, that takes us to
the most important
best team in the NBA, of course.
So here's where I'm also not going to take Bailey here either, if he's still on the board.
Yeah, I don't either.
I just think Trey Johnson is a safe pick. Like, you know he's going to be solid. He has this potential to be able to be like a really good scorer, and he's a good shooter from the beginning. Hmm. I just think I don't want to take the risk on Bailey. I feel like Trey Johnson's more of a safe pick.
Yeah, I picked Trey Johnson as well. I was tempted for I really like Jeremiah Fears. Obviously, we'll talk about him in a minute, probably, I'm guessing, but I like that Trey Johnson is 6'6". He's got a nice reach. I think we could like move him around in the lineup a lot, which would give him more playing time, more time on the floor, so he doesn't get stuck in a weird battle with Collier and Keontae. So I think it's best pick.
He fits our team really well.
Absolutely.
You can't deny that.
It's an easy pick right
there. So we're getting Trey Johnson.
Yep.
That takes us to the Wizards.
Yeah.
Right at number six, honestly, they need everything.
Yeah, this is where I had Jeremiah Fears.
Yep, that's where I had him too.
Okay.
Let's go.
I think it just makes sense with, I don't know what's going to happen with Jordan Poole. I can't imagine that's going to last much longer over there.
My only thing is, maybe this is where Ace Bailey would go.
That's true.
Because I feel like as much as Jeremiah Fears like would probably fit the Wizards pretty well, I feel like, I don't know, I think they just have to go Bailey here just because of the talent, best available. I don't know.
Should we go Fears? Fears, since that's who we both...
Yeah, we can go Fears. I know he'd be a good fit.
Yeah, okay. All right, seven. Okay, so this is where I had Ace Bailey going. To be honest, I think Zion's out this year. I'd be surprised if he's still there by the time the season starts. Maybe, but it seems like Ace Bailey would be the type of guy New Orleans would roll the dice on to build around again.
But my only thing with them is they already do have Trey Murphy, who kind of feels similar to Bailey.
That's true.
In a way.
That's true.
But then again, I feel like if Bailey does end up falling like this, I feel like a team's going to trade up and draft him at this spot.
That's true.
Anyways.
Who did you have at seven?
I had Malawak.
Oh, that's a good one too.
But I feel like if Bailey's on the board, he's We could probably have him fall this far, but I don't see him going much below here. Yeah.
Are we going Bailey then?
Let's go Bailey.
Okay. All right, that takes us to 8, the Brooklyn Nets. This is where it gets. It just keeps getting
harder. It's
a
little hairy here. Yeah. I could see the Brooklyn Nets drafting a center potentially because they have Nick Claxton, but they might end up trading him this offseason.
That is true.
I personally had them taking Derek Queen.
Ooh, okay.
But I had Malawak off the board, so maybe one of those guys.
Yeah. I had Jakučonis, but I think he could fit on a lot of teams. So I'd be down to go, should we go Malawak or Queen? What do you think?
Let's go Malawak.
Okay.
I think he'd be a good fit there.
Okay, let's do it.
They can have some flexibility if they want to move on from Claxton.
Okay. Then that takes us to Toronto. This is where I had Malawak going, but I think that they could use a solid center.
Yeah, definitely.
That was my opinion.
Maybe this is where we have Derek Queen go.
I think that sounds good to me, yeah.
He could be a run-and-gun center with Barrett and Quickly.
Yeah, I think Toronto's got... I really do think they got some solid roster. I mean, you got Barrett, Ingram, Scotty Barnes. You add like a guy like Derek Queen there. I think it would be a pretty solid line. Plus Emmanuel Quickly, yeah, like you said. So
yeah,
that would be good.
I like it.
Okay, I lost where we are. Oh, Rockets,
right? Yeah, number 10 Rockets with the Rockets. What do the Rockets need? They're kind of set up already.
Yeah, this is where I originally had Derek Queen going. We still got Carter Bryant, Jakučonis.
I actually had, this is my, you. I know you're not as familiar with this guy, but this is where I had Colin Murray-Boyles.
Oh, interesting.
He actually kind of fits them, in my opinion, because he's kind of a more polished guy that's like a more old school power forward.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like if they did lose Steven Adams, he could come in and do the rebounding like they did last year.
Yeah.
So I think he could be a good pick for them. Or I'd be down for Carter Bryant as well, because I think he'd fit anywhere.
Yeah, I'm down for Boyles. That'd be good.
Murray Boyles. Let's do it.
Yeah. Okay, so now we should be at the Timberwolves.
The Trailblazers. Yeah.
My bad.
They need a lot.
Brain lapse there.
I wonder about Scoot Henderson. We haven't really seen him blossom into anything crazy. And they've got Simons and Shaedon Sharpe, who have been pretty solid, so maybe they don't need a guard as much.
The guy I put was, I don't know much about him, but I have seen some clips. Noah Asenge.
Ooh, I don't know if you've seen interesting. Him. I kind of like that, actually.
Small forward, power forward, French guy. It seems like teams are kind of like, the whole international player thing has just been interesting in the draft. It seems like there's been a lot of them coming off the board earlier lately.
Yeah, this guy, I've seen people say that he has one of the highest ceilings in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely think the Blazers are one of those teams that would be more likely to take a swing like that.
Yeah. So maybe Noah Senge.
Yeah, let's go Noah Senge.
I think I'm saying that right. I feel like I'm saying that French.
Yeah, hopefully he's not the Tijan Saloon of this draft.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, 12, the Bulls.
The way it's fallen, I think this would be a great spot for Carter Bryant.
Okay.
From Arizona. Just because I see Jakučonis there, and I already see Josh Giddey, and I kind of feel like they already have...
They already have
Josh Giddey.
That's a good point. I actually picked Yegor Demon, but I forgot. He's also kind of a Josh Giddey. Both Jakučonis and Yegor. So I'd be down for Carter Bryant. I think that'd be a good pick.
Yeah, let's go Carter Bryant, because they already have a lot of guards, so I think that would be a good pick for them.
Yeah.
6'8 guy.
It takes us to the Hawks, who don't really need guards. They got Dyson Daniels and Trae Young. Seems like they're pretty set.
They could go for like a center or forward.
Yeah.
I actually had them taking Neat Clifford on my board because I know we talked about him earlier. He's that guy that's going to come in and be decent from the beginning.
Yeah. It's interesting. I was using the ESPN ratings when I did mine, and Neat was like way down there. And the guy that I picked, Joan Behringer, another French guy, but he's like,
oh yeah, I've heard of him.
He's like 32nd on this one that we're looking at. So it's kind of crazy how they're all different.
No, they're very different.
Yeah, I'd be down for Nick Clifford. I think it'd be good. That's who I originally had the Jazz pick in, kind of hopeful, wishful thinking, but I think you're right. I think
he could totally fall, but I think this is the range. Like,
yeah, I think you're right.
Top 20 guy, probably.
Yeah, I think you're right. That takes us to 14, the Spurs again. That's the Spurs, honestly.
Man, the Spurs are getting rich.
So the question is, do the Spurs like international guys? So Yuck, Jonas, and Demon be okay fits. I had Liam McNeely. That was my pick.
Ooh, I actually don't mind that.
I think he's got a lot of question marks, but the Spurs are the type of team that has room to gamble a little, just a little bit.
Yeah, and they need shooting around their main guys.
Yeah, small forwards, so he could kind of fit.
Let's do McNeely. I actually think that's a good spot for him.
Okay. The Thunder again? Oh, I don't know what they need. They have everything.
Man, they, you know, Jokic, Jonas, and Demon are both sliding. They did in my draft earlier, too.
Yeah.
I'd be wondering if the Thunder would go for them, because they already drafted Nikola Topic last
year.
That's
what I was thinking. Similar. So,
I don't know if they need another tall point guard just sitting on their bench.
I was kind of feeling like they needed bigs, because they do have Chet. Yeah. So, like, there's, like, a Danny Wolf or Asa Newell.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Yeah. I put Thomas Sorber was my original pick, but they're all kind of the same.
He'd be good, too.
Range.
I think those three guys, all three of them, could get drafted here.
Yeah. It seems like Asa Newell would be, in my mind, the best fit, because he seems like the hybrid big that can dribble, kind of Chet Holmgren-like.
I'm with him, too. I think he could... The Thunder like to switch a lot on screens.
Yeah.
And I think Newell will be the best at that. Let's do Asa Newell.
Do it. Okay. Memphis. Is that? Oh, yeah. It is
Memphis. Yeah,
Memphis. That was the one.
Who just traded up for this pick, right?
Yep. Ooh. What do
they
need?
I mean, they need a Desmond Bane replacement, potentially.
Yep. That's why I was kind of thinking Will Riley, maybe, or... Jace Richardson, Walter Clayton.
I don't know much about Cedric Coward, but he's a pretty good guard at this slot. I've seen him go in top 20.
He's good size. I'd be down for Cedric Coward. Honestly.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't know as much about him, but I think he could go here.
I think so too. Let's do it. Okay, it takes us to Minnesota.
This is where I think we could get a point guard drafted, maybe.
Like
Demon or Jokic Jonas.
Which one, though?
Yeah, I guess.
That's the question.
I feel like Jokic Jonas could probably go here. I don't know.
Yeah, I like it.
This would make him fall pretty far to 17.
Yeah.
But I have seen him go like all over the place in mock drafts.
Yeah. Then Washington again.
We already had them taking Jeremiah Fears earlier.
Yeah. I was kind of thinking another center. I know they have Alex Saar, but I kind of like Danny Wolf there.
Yeah.
But they really just need everything too. So, I mean, we also have Thomas Sorber, Jace Richardson still there.
They could also go Will Riley.
Yeah.
Like we were talking about
Riley
last pick.
Would be good. Maybe this is the one we auto. Well, it'll probably auto pick Yegor though, honestly.
Let's do Danny Wolf maybe.
Let's do it.
Because he's solid. He shows flashes at Jokic, but I don't know what he'll end up being. Yeah, honestly, you're right. Like, the Wizards throw a dart, and you need every position.
You just need the best player available, any position.
Whatever you think is the best player at 19.
Absolutely. 19, the Nets. This is where I had Asa Newell.
This is where I had Yegor Demon, actually.
Okay, I think we kind of flipped, because I had them picking a guard earlier. I had them picking Jokic Jonas, and then we took a big... I think Yegor Demon would be a good fit.
Yeah, they definitely need somebody that can run the offense. I don't know if our boy D'Angelo Russell's the answer long term.
Definitely not.
All right, Yegor. Dang, okay. He's off the board for the Jazz.
We're
That's
getting
okay.
close. We're getting close. Okay, and then that takes us to the Miami Heat. To me, Jace Richardson seems like a Miami Heat player. I don't know. Just the vibe. I don't even know if he fits. He just seems like a Miami Heat player to me.
I'll counter that, because I don't think you're wrong there, but I also think Walter Clayton Jr. kind of fits the Miami Heat.
He does.
Vibe, because they, I don't know, they like winners. and he's a
true
more season. He's a senior, more seasoned guy. I feel like the Heat would probably go for
it. Yeah, because the Heat aren't really in like a full on rebuild. They're just like they're like still. I still think they're like maybe two or three pieces away from being like a good Eastern Conference team.
They could be getting so Kevin Durant. Who knows?
They need guys with experience. Yeah, I like Walter Clayton there. That's a good pick.
Let's do it.
And then I'm guessing this is where you had Jace Richardson.
Yeah, I did have Jace Richardson here. But what do you? What would you take? Because that's just...
Well, I originally had Nick Clifford. I really hope he falls to us. I don't know if it's going to happen. I think
it'd be but less likely that he does. But if he's there, we should take
ESPN him. ESPN has him at 25.
Interesting.
So I don't. This draft is just... There's a lot of talent in this draft.
Let me just read off the available people so everybody knows. Rashear Fleming, who I don't know a ton about, but I think he's a top 20 guy.
Yeah.
Thomas Sorber, great center from Georgetown. Jace Richardson, who we've been talking about. Ben Seraph from Israel. Oh. Nolan Traore, point guard from France. That's pretty intriguing. Will Riley from Illinois. Adu Thierro, who the Jazz worked out, I'm pretty sure, from Arkansas. Kochbrenner, Hugo Gonzalez, and then a lot of second round guys.
Yeah.
So
the Jazz worked out, just a reminder, I know we read it before, around this area they worked out Jace Richardson, Will Riley, Walter Clayton is already off the board, Kalkbrenner, Drake Powell, Chaz Lanier. That's kind of the guys we've worked out so far.
Yeah.
I forgot about Will Riley. He's kind of...
Will Riley's solid.
I think the hard thing is if we take Trey Johnson earlier, or at least a guard, that's probably what it's going to be as a guard.
Mm-hmm.
We draft another guard.
I would argue we do already have Kessler, but Thomas Sorber is like a really good center.
That's true.
If we want like a backup guy, I know you talked about maybe not loving
Malawach,
like not really having a solid backup center on the team. He would be a solid backup center.
I think Thomas Sorber would be solid.
You want to take him over Richardson?
Oh, it's tough.
We already do have a lot of guards now.
Richardson's 6'3". Kind of a smaller guard. Will Riley is 6'8".
Yeah.
Nolan Traore. Oh, I forgot about him. He's only 6'4", though. Oh, this is tough. You know what? Let's just take Jani Broom. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I want to do my homework on Rashear Fleming because I've actually heard he's decent. Yeah. But in my head, I'm thinking Jace Richardson, then maybe Sorber, then maybe Rashear Fleming.
Yeah, I feel good about Jace Richardson. I forgot about the Jazz also worked out Hansen Yang. He's at 40, so I'm not saying this for this pick, but I'm saying maybe we could get a roll the
dice on a Chinese
in the second round
next
or something.
Yao Ming.
Yeah, so I think Jace Richardson would be a good pick. Let's do it.
Let's do Jace Richardson.
Why not? Okay, I think that's where we'll stop. Some interesting guys still left. Rashear Fleming, Thomas Sorber, Traore, Ben Seraph. I don't really know much about him.
Yeah, I don't know.
Will Riley, Adu Thierro, Ryan Kochbrenner, Jani Broom, Cam Jones, Drake Powell,
Kobe Brea,
Tyrese Proctor from Duke, Hansen Yang,
RJ Lewis. Now we're getting in the second round for
Lanier. Sure. Yeah, so... I think this is a deep draft, but there's a lot of question marks about who's going to be, you know, good. So
I'll read off what we had. We had the Mavericks take Cooper Flagg, the Spurs take Dylan Harper, and then we had VJ Edgecombe to the Sixers, Con Knipl to the Hornets, Trey Johnson to the Jazz, Jeremiah Fears Wizards, Ace Bailey Pelicans, Malawach Nets, Derek Queen Raptors, Colin Murray Boyles to the Rockets, Noah Singe to the Trailblazers, really like that, Carter Bryant to the Bulls, Nick Clifford Hawks, Liam McNeely Spurs, Asa Newell Thunder, Cedric Howard Grizzlies, Jakachonis Timberwolves, Danny Wolf Wizards, Yegor Demon Nets, Walter Clayton Heat, and then finally Jace Richardson Jazz. So
that's
what do
solid.
You think of that?
Yeah, I don't hate it. I think there's just so many. Yeah, this could be. The funny thing is it's like I could see guys like Jakachonis and even Yegor going in the top 10, but I could also see them dropping into the 20s. And so it's
definitely.
Who knows what these teams are even thinking with these workouts? You know, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, so. if Jonas or Demon did fall to 21, would you have picked them over Richardson? I probably would too. But it'll be interesting to see if they do.
There's just too many good guards in this draft is the problem. And the Jazz just, I feel like that's our least needed. I think Colin Sexton's still solid.
Yeah.
We've got like at least three good guards and we're like.
I've been feeling the most confident in Collier.
Yeah.
But he's young. I mean, that's only been 1 year. Yeah. We don't really know.
Yeah. And Keontae's, I think he took a little step back last year, but I still think he's got a lot of upside. So it's just hard. It's not a really well fitted draft for the Jazz, especially when you fall to five in the draft. Yeah. So.
But we'll be interested to see. We'll probably be watching it Wednesday night with our boards.
That's true.
That'll be fun.
Another thing we'll be watching, Game 7
tomorrow night. Let's go, baby.
Going back to Oklahoma City. Indiana doesn't seem to struggle on the road this playoffs, so might as well be a neutral court, honestly.
No, I don't remember what you were predicting, but I was thinking it'd be OKC in 6, so this is already... Yeah. Better than what I imagine.
I can't even remember. I originally predicted OKC winning it all, but I've been rooting for Indiana. I think it's such a cool story.
You haven't seen anything like this since maybe Dirk and the Mavericks, but even exactly. then, they were like one of the top teams. So this is kind of a one-off
thing. And for it to be Indiana, just like there's a basketball state. That's just a staple in Indiana. And
And the fact that TJ McConnell is like their best player
so awesome.
In last game. He was awesome in the mid range, always grabbing steals off the inbounds. It's crazy that he's doing all that.
And I think this is the best that we've seen any team guard Shea. Shea's a hard guy to guard, but like Andrew Nembhard,
Nesmith.
Those two guys are just like...
Even Benedict Mathurin's been all right.
Benedict Mathurin, yeah. He's had some poor shooting games, but he defensively, he's solid.
He's been all right. Yeah.
And watching... I think one thing that NBA has needed is to see a star like Tyrese Halliburton, who I don't know if you saw, but he sprained his calf or...
Somewhere in his leg, yeah.
Yeah, and he still played game 6 and he played well. I think he played well. He didn't play great, but he played well.
He missed his first couple shots, but then... Got it going.
It's like, dang, like with all the resting you see in the NBA and all the just drama of like there's players that will straight up sit out in the playoffs, even in the finals, and he's out here playing when he probably shouldn't be.
Yeah, they probably shot whatever they shot into Jalen Brunson.
Yeah.
They'll need to do that before the last game. Give him whatever steroid, but
painkillers.
Painkillers, yep, exactly.
Oh, it's so awesome. It's been... I thought it was over last game. I was like, they're done. Tyrese is out.
I'm also happy. We've had a lot of finals over the last couple of years. We've always had a new champion every year. We'll have that again. But I think this finals, you'll remember specific moments.
Mm-hmm.
Like you'll remember Tyrese Halliburton with that like doink, buzzer beater against the who was that in the conference finals?
The Knicks.
Yeah, against the Knicks. You'll remember that. You'll remember that game they stole against the Thunder in game 1.
Yeah.
You'll remember all these like moments throughout the playoffs. You'll remember Aaron Nesmith when he made 8 threes in a game. It's like, I think there's very few playoffs where you can just like rattle off like those like kind of big moments. Yeah. And I think you also have Shea like in the clutch in game 4. He stole game 4. The Pacers should have won the championship by now if they won that game, right?
Absolutely.
So it's been back and forth. And J-Dub had 40, like, one game. Like, don't forget about that.
Dude.
No, every game's pretty electric.
Yeah, I saw them, like, comparing Shea and J-Dub to Pippen and Jordan. I really just believe if for the people out there saying that this is, like, nobody's watching these NBA Finals, you must just not be a basketball fan, because there's some great players in this series. That I don't know if you saw the dunk last night by Siakam.
It was in Indy, and Tyrese did the spin.
Yeah, it was like a no-look spin. Like, dude. I was like, that was like poetic right there. And to take it to game 7, too, is just, ooh.
Yeah, do you think if the Pacers win, who will get the Finals MVP?
That's tough.
I think it'd be Siakam.
I think so too. Because
he's been their leading scorer.
I think Halliburton's their most important player, but he doesn't put up a lot of stats to show that. It's like a lot of stuff that's kind of... I think it's got to be Siakam. You got to consider McConnell.
McConnell, yeah.
You've got to consider it,
I
think.
You have to think about that.
Andrew Nembhard played a big role. It's going to be... Maybe you just give it to the Rick Carlisle. I don't know.
I mean, if you're talking straight defense, you have to give it to Nembhard. Yeah. But I think if you're talking offense, you have to give it to Siakam.
Maybe you just give it to Miles Turner for being around there for so long. What is it, like 11, 12 seasons in Indiana?
Yeah. Well, it's cool that you can have a team where like... 6 or 7 guys score 10 points and you're sharing the ball.
Obi Toppin's been playing really good too.
He's
one of those guys that scored.
He's not the kind of guy you want to be in front of when he's running downhill.
Not at all.
The former dunk contest champion, right? Did he win it? Maybe.
He played it.
At least participant. I can't remember if he won it.
Yeah, I can't remember. Oh, so fun. But that being said, what's your prediction? Who wins game 7?
Ooh. You know, I've picked the Thunder all year. I'm just going to stick with that.
The Thunder.
As much as I'm going to be rooting for the Pacers.
Yeah.
I think the Thunder will probably pull it off.
I do think Game 7 in Oklahoma City, even though Pacers play really well on the road, that's going to be tough.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be rooting for the Pacers. I'm going to say the Pacers, but this is going to be a dog fight. I'm hoping that it's like a close game and not a blowout, because that would just be fun to watch.
I think the most important part of the game is the first and third quarters.
Absolutely.
Because you've seen a lot of these games, if you can be the team to get the lead in the first quarter, that kind of dictates a lot of the game.
Yeah.
And then you've also seen the Thunder demolish teams in the third quarter all year long, where they don't play fourth quarters because they're up by 20, right?
Yeah.
And so I think if you're the Pacers, you gotta win the first and third quarters, kind of set the tone for both of those halves, and then you'll be in a good spot. But
yeah. I totally agree. I think that's what happened.
You got to play a good the whole game, but I think those are important parts.
I think that's what happened in game 4. I mean, the Pacers were up like 20 at one point after halftime in the third quarter. And then at the end of the third quarter, the Thunder went on a little run. They cut it to like 8 going into the fourth quarter, and it was over from there. Like, they just rolled in the fourth quarter.
Yep, Shea did his thing. So,
but it all started in that third quarter run, so I think you're totally right.
Yeah, you never know. The fourth quarter is important, but I think just getting off to the right start is going to be huge.
Absolutely. Well, our boy AJ DeBonsa, Provo legend. Someday, someday they'll have a statue of him, I'm sure, outside
probably
the Marriott Center.
His jersey in the rafters.
Yeah, they'll name maybe they'll name the medical school after him, the AJ DeBonsa Medical Center. I don't know. Anyways, he made the 19U. USA FIBA team, which is kind of cool.
Let's go.
Doesn't really surprise us. He's like the only big name that's on there. I think JJ Mandiquit's on there, who was almost committed to BYU, but
do you know where he's going?
He ended up at Washington.
Okay, cool.
I think he's like Hawaiian, and there was something where he wanted to be close. Washington's not really, I guess it's closest than any other state.
It's on the ocean, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's still a whole island away, I guess, or ocean away. But anyways, that'd be cool. I think good.
Yeah. I mean, it just shows that he's one of the best guys in this class.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he'll do good.
That'd be fun. Well, thank you so much for joining us on our episode today. Don't forget to check out our past episodes. We have spent a little more time talking about some of these prospects in our last 3 or 4 episodes. So go check those out if you want to learn more about that. You can find those all on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us there @TunedInJazz. And take care.